Let me invite you to stand with me, take your Bibles, and repeat after me. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I believe it to be the Word of the Living God.
I believe it to be the Word of the Living God.
And I covenant with Him that I will study it each day.
I want God's will to be done in my life.
I want to be led by the Holy Spirit.
I want to be like Jesus.
Loving Father, we approach your throne of grace, and again this morning we commit to spending time with you in study of your word. We would be like Jesus. I'm asking now, Father, that you'd be with me as I bring the message. Help me to speak clearly, and the words that I would bring would lift us heavenward and prepare us for that glorious day when Jesus comes into clouds. Guide us now as we continue our worship in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to continue with the study that I began last week, the battle for the mind. And again, I must emphasize, I don't think there's a more important subject than us guarding our minds. Because you must never underestimate the work that the devil can accomplish. It is important that we guard the doorway to our mind, because it plays a very important part in our walk of faith. As I shared with you, everything starts with a thought. And the only entrance that Satan has into your personality, into your emotions, is into your thoughts. From Adventist Home, page 407, Ellen White says, Satan knows what organs to excite, to animate and engross and charm the mind so that Christ is not desired. Last time when we met together, we studied about the spiritual warfare from Ephesians 6, verse 12. It says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The devil and his demon forces are our enemy, and his main weapon is lying to us. But be not deceived. God has produced four things, four weapons, whereby we can be victorious. Do you remember what they were? Number one, read your Bibles. Every day, read the Word. Number two, prayer. Folks, prayer moves mountains. Call on the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. And I want to tell you, the devil flees. And then number four, you know what it was? Sing songs of praise, hymns. Now, I want to tell you that this mind is a marvelous thing, and things just crowd in. Have you ever woken up in the morning or sometime during the day, a certain phrase will come in and just play over and over and over? Ever had something like that? You know, this morning on the way to church, we got to talking, and I missed the exit again at the border to Georgia, cross the bridge, turn around and come back. But some reason or other, as I was crossing the bridge, I thought about crawfish. And this, then some silly little phrase came into my mind from, what is it? Jambalaya, crawfish, pile, meal, mile. Now, where in the world did that come from? And that's all. This thing has just been playing through my mind the rest of the morning. Jambalaya, crawfish pie, old meal mile.
I want to get three, please.
Okay. Four things?
Yes.
Bible study, prayer, call upon the word of Jesus, call upon Jesus' name.
Okay.
He will save you. And fourth one was singing hymns of praise.
Thank you.
Hosea. You know the story of Hosea. Hosea 4 verse 6 says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Now I'm talking about the battle for the mind. And my people, as Hosea says, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Now I was just reading, or Donna just showed me a couple of days ago, she was reading something. She says something like 2 million bits of information bombard our minds every minute of the day.
Per second.
2 million bits of information. And Hosea says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. In other words, study the word.
Yes.
Now, we're studying about, we spent last week talking about the devil. Folks, if you know how the devil works, then you can resist him. I want you to grasp this truth and hold on to it, because the truth will set us free. Someone attends an evangelistic series and gives their heart to Jesus. And as the weeks pass by, they become discouraged, because it seems that they are no different now than before their conversion, before their personal walk with Jesus. They have the same natural carnal thoughts, and they begin to doubt their conversion. Have you ever met people like that, or had that experience with individuals? You see, that's being destroyed for a lack of knowledge. What actually takes place when someone accepts Jesus as their personal Savior? Jesus died for the sins of the people, and by faith. Now, this is a faith experience, and by faith, those who accept Jesus are declared not guilty immediately. They are declared not guilty. They are now justified. They have been acquitted of all past sin. The devil comes along and whispers in your mind, don't believe that, because I know what you were thinking just a few minutes ago. And the reason he knows is because he planted the thoughts there. Now, when you accept Jesus as your personal Savior, does it mean that you will not sin again? No, of course not. What it means that we have been forgiven, that we have been justified, that we have been made right with God. It means now God and I are walking in the same direction. And I want to tell you, when you decide to walk in the direction with Jesus, you're going to meet the devil head on. When we accept Jesus, it means that we have to put on the whole armor of God. Why? Because now we are entered into the battle. We've got to do battle with sin. And folks, I've decided a long time ago, I have decided to follow Jesus. There's no turning back. No turning back. I'm now in the battle. And I'm in that battle to win. So that new convert, he or she may have thought, wow, I'll never have a negative thought or a negative desire again. You know, that was my experience. When I joined, when I became a Seventh-day Adventist, when I gave my heart to the Lord, I said, wow, what an experience this is going to be. I'm going to be amongst a group of people. I'm not going to hear swearing anymore. Nobody's going to cheat me amongst this group. Do you know what? I became an Adventist Christian, and when in a few months I went off to Canadian Union College. You know, the first week they caught one of the boys streaking around the boys' dorm. Streaking was big in the 70s. A few days later, the dean caught some of the girls lifting a case of beer in through the back, you know, in up through the window. Now, I could have become discouraged and says, what in the world have I got myself into? But no, I decided to follow Jesus. I'm going to stick with him. I can't look at these people. You see, when we accept Jesus, being born again is not enough. You now got to fight this battle of faith. Every day I've got to do battle with the enemy. I have decided to go with Jesus. Amen. Paul understood this. Let's go back and look at our text that was read this morning. And Connie, thank you. You did a great job. Paul says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. But be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There are three basic things that Paul is speaking about in the text. The first he says, I beseech you. Caleb, what does it mean to beseech somebody? Can you help him out, Zach? Anybody help him out? I beseech you. Paul is saying, I beg you, I urge you, I strongly urge you to live a life that is holy, godly, consecrated. Amen. Let me say this. You will never win in warfare with the enemy if you have not decided to follow Jesus and stick with him. Obedience, dear hearts, is better than sacrifice. And Paul urges us to live a holy, consistent, godly life. This is well-pleasing to our Heavenly Father. It's like a sweet-smelling fragrance that ascends heavenward. Because we have decided to follow Jesus, we're in the battle, and he can give us the victory. But we've got to fight this battle of faith. Oh my, what a fight. In my imagination, I look forward to Jesus to come, but somehow I am excited about those Sabbaths in heaven, aren't you? Oh, not only are we going to, you know, hear Jesus and the angelic choir, you know, maybe a million strong singing on Sabbath morning. Not only are we going to experience, maybe the Father conducting the worship service that particular morning and he speaks. But you're going to enjoy the fellowship with the saints. Folks, to be able to talk with the saints, what a tremendous experience that's going to be. So there should be nothing that would keep you from presenting your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is reasonable service, Paul says. The second thing the text says, do not be conformed to this world. When we're talking about the world, what are we talking about? Or what's Paul talking about? Is he talking about the planet? Is he talking about the earth? Is he talking about, you know, our solar system? No. He's talking about a world system that is around us that continually erodes our faith. It pulls down our hope and it destroys our love. In other words, what Paul is saying is the society around us that goes against the things of God, that's what's destroying your relationship with Him. That's what's eroding your faith and destroying that love relationship. In the Bible, a lot of times you can substitute the word culture for the world. It could read this way: do not be conformed to this culture.
Amen, that's right.
That's what Paul is really saying. Don't be conformed to this culture. And I don't think very many would argue with me. If you look back over the last 10, 20, 30, 40 years, you can see the downward swing that society has taken concerning the things of God.
Absolutely.
Now, I was born in the mid-40s and grew up in the 50s, into the 60s when this hippie movement came. That's when I first started to see a big difference in people's attitude, especially respect.
And that's right. Yes.
So do not be conformed to this culture. Scripture helps me to understand that behind this society, behind this culture, behind this world system is an evil influence, and the prince of darkness himself is at the head. When the Bible says, do not be conformed, it takes on a new meaning. It's because you know there's something evil behind it. Do you know what the word conform means? The word conform means to assume an outward expression that does not come from within. In other words, when you conform to something, you conform to it because of the outside pressure, the outside influences, and it changes how you act. It may not change who you are, but you begin to change your actions. You see, it causes conflict. You may lose sleep over it. Your blood pressure might go up, and it can bring on death, and premature death, illness. When you are born again and accept salvation, the Holy Spirit, you see, Christ's representatives, from the very center of the universe, the center of God Himself, comes and dwells within. When we accept Christ, the very nature of God takes up residence within us. Do you know what happens when we live a holy, godly, consecrated life? You bear the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5. What are the fruits of the Spirit? Can you tell me? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, temperance. You know what I mean. You bear the fruit of the Spirit. But when you conform to this society or to the world, do you know what you're doing? You are not being true to yourself. You're beginning to mask who you are. It's almost like acting. It's like somebody I am not. I'm masquerading. So what do you produce when you conform? You produce just the opposite. You produce the fruit of envy and jealousy and greed. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? The Phillips translation translates Romans 12:2 this way. It says, do not let the world squeeze you into its own mold. Have you ever felt outside pressure trying to have you conform or do something that you really don't want to do? Yeah, sure we have. I'd like to submit that's the force of the enemy squeezing us into his desire for our life. The Amplified Version speaking, or using the same, you know, from Romans 12:2, the Amplified Version says, "Do not copy the behaviors and customs of this world." And that's why when I do Bible study, I like to have, you know, several different versions. You know, I have your King James Version, the New King James Version, the New International Version, the Contemporary Version. I have the Clear Word. I have several different versions. And you will come to understand what these texts are saying to you. You see, there are outside pressures that affect every one of us, but it is a trick of the enemy. And church, I stand before you this morning to tell you that you do not have to conform. You do not have to conform, because the Bible says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you will be able to bear it." 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. I read some time ago about psychologists wanting to see the effects of how a person reacts when they are surrounded by a greater number of people that obviously stand for doing that which is wrong. So they made arrangements with several different high schools, and they went and they did this experiment on teachers, or on the students. They broke the student body down into groups of 10. But they took 9 of the students and they said, "We want you to vote." What they did, they had a piece of paper. Can you see it? They said, "We want you to vote to the 9 students for the second to the longest line." But when they got all 10 of them into the group, they asked the question, "Which is the longest line?" Now you tell me, which is the longest line? Number C. But remember, they were to vote publicly. When they asked the question, "Which is the longest line?" 9 of the students immediately put their hand up and said, "B." That number 10 student, he wavered a few, just momentarily, and 75% of their time, they voted knowing that B is not the longest line. And when they were questioned why they voted for B, they said, or why did you conform, or why did you vote for number V, or B instead of C, because they knew the right answer. Young people said, "We didn't want to be different. We didn't want the other students to wonder what was the matter with us. We just wanted to follow the majority. We wanted to fit in." Folks, it is a trick of the devil on a large scale in society, because in general, the devil has voted for the next to longest line, and he goes against everything that God says is right to do. It's a trick of the enemy to get us to conform, to go along with the flow, not be confrontational. Hey, everybody's doing it. Let's just fit in. And folks, I want to tell you that the Christian church is bringing to bear pressure on the different... Well, on Wednesday, how many of you were for prayer meeting on Wednesday? Did you enjoy that film? It was about God's warriors, talking about the Christian coalition, this right-wing movement. And they are having denomination after denomination to conform with their thinking. But I want to tell you that the Christian coalition is the devil's helpers. They're not God's.
That's true.
Churches are willing to put aside their different theological beliefs, so they can fit in and be a part of this large movement who wants to change America. But folks, you cannot legislate righteousness. Everybody is not doing it. You don't have to fit in. We can be different. We know that God has called us to much more than just fitting in. In fact, Ephesians 1:4 says that God chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. And Jesus said that you are the salt of the earth. And I really don't care what they put up. C is the longest line. Do not listen to the devil. 1 Peter 2 verse 9 says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Let us not be conformers, but be transformed by the grace of God." We are called to stand tall in the crowd. We're called tall, or we're called to stand with that one voice. Stand for God. Amen. The greatest want of the world is the want of men. Men who will not be bought or sold. Men who will stand for the right though the heavens fall.
Right. Yeah.
Now, folks, I know that some of you work in at your workplace. It is not fellow Christians that is standing by you. Now, notice I said it is not fellow Christians, not Seventh-day Adventist Christians that are standing by you. And by the way, sometimes our Adventist Christians can lead us to do that which is wrong. But, you're at work. It could be a Sabbath issue. Are you going to conform and go to the company picnic on Sabbath afternoon? Or are you going to stand tall and say no? Don't succumb to these outside pressures, amen. God can give you the victory. And the world, your fellow Christians are watching you. If they know that you are born again, and they should know that you are, they're watching to see how you react to certain situations. If you just fall back and succumb to mediocrity and follow in the crowd, they're not going to think that you have anything to offer. Church, the world is looking for something. They're looking for something better than what is out there. So they have to look to you. They need the good news. And I'm not ashamed to stand before you this morning and declare to you that the Christian life is the most fulfilled life, is the most fun life that you can live. Folks, Christians have fun.
Amen.
And I don't have to be involved with alcohol or smoking weed or living an illicit lifestyle or visiting gambling halls to have fun. Folks, to get involved with this, you are shackled by the devil, and he will destroy you. When my family and I, when we go on vacations, when we do things together, we laugh, we have fun.
Amen.
Yeah. And we can go home at night and there's no headaches or, we don't talk foolishly because we've been intoxicated. I like to think we've been intoxicated with the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And our hearts is filled with joy and peace. You can sleep at night. You know what I'm saying. Oh, I fear for our young people because of peer pressure. Folks, is that not only is it at school, it's at the mall, it's even in the church. And young people, if you feel that everybody is doing it, it's okay. Don't think that way. Because everyone is not doing it. Why not set your own trend? Amen. Folks, you don't have to wear that. I'm talking to you young people. You don't have to wear them, show your midriff and the skinny little stuff that they wear today. Set your own trend. Take off all the, the paint and the shiny little earrings and all that. Let it go.
Amen.
Let the inner beauty come out.
Amen.
Folks, God has called us. We are His elect. Amen. It's a trick of the devil. He's saying everybody is doing it. What will people think of me? I think, they think that, young people think they're going to be hot if they're not following the crowd. But folks, we need to realize that we are in the world, but we are not of the world. In fact, 1 John 4:4 says, "Ye are God's little children and have overcome them." That's the world. Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Here's the point that I want to make this afternoon. The world is never going to accept us. We need to quit worrying about what other people will think and start being concerned more about what God thinks. Amen? The world system, the culture in which we live, goes against the things of God. Follow me. Listen to what I'm saying to you. The world says, get everything you can. But do you know what God says? It is better to give than to receive. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Acts chapter 20, verse 35. Folks, this is just the opposite of what the world says. The world says, climb the corporate ladder, step on your friends, win the rat race, crush your enemies, do everything you can to get to the top. And I want to tell you, when you get to the top, it is a lonely place. But God says, love your neighbors as you love yourself. The world says, make a name for yourself, become famous, do everything you can to become known. But God says in Matthew 20, 26 and 27, but it is not to be so among you. But whoever shall be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. God's way is the opposite from the world. Church, don't get caught up in the rat race. That's not who you are. Who we are is determined by the company we keep. It's about integrity. It's about character. This is much more important than who's number one and how much money we spend or what clothes we wear. These things are all so superficial. And Jesus looks right through these superficial things. You can't fool Him. Paul says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's why I'm telling you. That's why we say every week, I covenant with God to study His Word. We've spent quite a bit of time on the word conformed this morning. Just let me refresh your minds. Conform is to assume an outward expression that does not come from within. To be transformed is exactly the opposite. Transform means to assume an outward expression that comes from within. We get the word transform from the Greek word metamorpho. We get our English word metamorphosis from that Greek word. Do you know what a metamorphosis is? Caleb knows, don't you, Caleb? A metamorphosis is when God touches our heart and we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. There's a radical change that takes place. We are transformed within and we determine by God's grace to walk with Jesus. Folks, it's the caterpillar becoming a beautiful butterfly.
Amen.
It's that tadpole becoming a frog. It's a radical change to be transformed. But just remember, it is God. He leaves the business of the mind to us. We have to make right choices. Guard that doorway to the mind. The devil is going to bring all kinds of things before you, and you've got to be able to make right choices. But you can only make right choices if you know what's written in the Word. Notice again, Romans 12:2. We've got to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So how does this transformation take place? How does this radical change take place in our minds? From reading God's Word. It comes from meditating on God's Word. It comes from communicating with God in prayer. It comes from believing God's Word and acting upon it. Now, I encourage you to read your Bibles. I'm not asking you to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and read chapter after chapter. Folks, I'd rather you take 5 minutes and just read 2 verses. But the rest of the day, meditate upon these 2 verses. You know, digest them. Find out what these verses are saying to you. Be transformed by what is being said in God's Word. Well, folks, I can't overemphasize the importance of doing your Sabbath school lesson and opening up God's Word, spending some time meditating on God's Word. Yeah. And it doesn't mean that you can't meditate while you're at work, while you're driving your car down the road. We can have an attitude of prayer wherever we are. Let me close this morning with these promises. And folks, this is good stuff. From Joshua 1:8 is the first promise. It says, "The book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, and that you may observe and do all that is written therein. For then you shall make thy way prosperous, and then you shall have good success." Amen. You want to be prosperous, you want to have success. Spend time with God. Meditate upon Him. Folks, it's the trick of the devil to put things in your mind like jambalaya, crawfish pie, meal pie. That's foolishness. Guard the avenues of your mind. But when we look at the promises, notice who is doing the work. Let me read the promise again. "The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Notice who is doing the work. It is me. It is you. We've got to get into the Word. Amen? Folks, God gave us this beautiful gift, the freedom to choose. He is not going to push the Bible upon you. He's not going to force you. You have to, of your own free choice, pick it up and read it and meditate upon it. Psalm 1, verse 1 and 2. This is good stuff. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsels of the ungodly." Notice what it says, blessed. Blessed. Amen?
Yes.
Folks, this should be filling you full of excitement. You can leave this place knowing that you've been blessed. It doesn't say cursed. It says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." You're the one who is to meditate day and night It is your mind that's being renewed. It is your mind that's being transformed. Don't worry about someone else. But apart, once you are transformed, you can't help yourself but witnessing and sharing. Oh, verse 3 of Psalm verse 1. Well, this is good stuff. And I'm going to say you. And you shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whosoever and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper.
Yes, amen.
Folks, I don't know about you, but I've planted flowers and not tended to them by watering them. You know, they come up, they look all nice when you plant them, but just in a couple of days, they're wilted and dropped over. They look awful. But the tree, the plants that are watered every day, the tree that is planted by the rivers of water, they can have as much as they want. That's like us. You accept Jesus as your personal Savior. You have been planted by rivers of water. You can have as much of Jesus as you want.
Amen. That's good.
And whosoever doeth these things, they shall prosper, it says. This is good stuff. It's good news, isn't it?
Yeah.
Folks, if there's someone here this morning who have not accepted Jesus as their personal Savior, who have not decided that I'm going to follow Him, I encourage you, I beg you, I beseech you, Paul says, to make that decision. Because whoever calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus will be saved.
Amen.
Is there such a one this morning who have never fully committed their life to Jesus and would like to say yes to Him now? I want to follow you all the way. Is there such a person here this morning? Hey, God bless you, my friend. God bless you. Someone else? Yes. Oh, folks, heaven is encouraged. We want to be more like Jesus, don't we?
Yeah.